This episode of the FitCast is brought to you by Organifi at O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I.com. You can check out their great lineup of products, including green juice and their daily turmeric. You can save 20% when you use the code FITCAST, that's F-I-T-C-A-S-T, at checkout. Welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I am so pumped. I told you guys I was going to do it. Told you. We got that follow-up with Lisa Lewis. Lisa, you're back to talk more about psychology, talk about training, and now we're even going to talk about some like pregnancy nutrition and training talk. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks. I'm pumped to be back.
So like this is the cool thing is like when we did that first chat, and people could probably tell, like when we were doing that, like I was like really into it. I took a bunch of notes that first chat that we did, and then I ended up, you know, doing some I used the internet. I did I went to Alta Vista and I typed in your name. I went to, you know, Tony's site. I checked out some more of your blog posts that some of them that I saw in the past, because Tony's always good about, you know, tell me stuff I should be reading while I'm pretending to work.
Yeah.
And I went and read those out. And then I also got to go to Girls Gone Strong. You got a great interview and profile on there well. So we have like a ton of different places to go. But you guys know, like this is just kind of like we're just going to have a chat. We're going to see what happens.
Great.
But first thing that I wanted to talk about, and I'm gonna go, I hope I'm not starting the show with a showstopper, because I'm reading, have you read Peak?
No. Who is it by?
Okay. So, and the reason why I bring this up is because you hit on one of the same subjects, the subject of deliberate practice. Was brought up in one of your posts. And Peak is a book that I'm almost done with that is really good. And shout out, I don't know if she even listens to this, but Sarah, and I'm so bad at saying her last name from Achieve, Sarah Polacco, I think I'm getting that right. Mm-hmm. But Sarah like posted about this book on Instagram, like, oh, that sounds like, you know, really interesting. That's how I find most of my books now. But it's by Anders Ericsson.
Okay.
It's Peak, Secrets from the New Science of Experience. And also, I'm trying to look. My phone text is so small. Robert Paul, I believe, is the other author. So it's Anders Ericsson and Robert Paul.
Okay.
But highly recommended if people want to check it out. Just because the first thing that was brought up in the book, and this is so weird because I also talked about this book in another podcast a couple days ago, but the concept of... We have short-term memory. It's something that we know we have, and they did this experiment where they tried to see how many digits people could hold. Like if I read you, Lisa, if I read you, a certain number of digits, like what would be the point where you wouldn't be able to remember them all and read them back to me in the correct order? And like the number that they guess they've found generally for most people is 7 or 8 digits. Like if I read you 7 or 8 digits, you could read them right back to me most of the time, no problem. But due to deliberate practice, or I guess the and this is kind of very surface level on this stuff, but with like specific practice, like if you really drove yourself to get better at remembering those numbers and being able to recite them, they found that some people were able to do, you know, 80 digits, like something that we thought was completely impossible, but the human mind is a very magical thing that will one day give us superpowers, not just yet. So I guess I wanted to kind of start there, just like the concept of deliberate practice, kind of how you brought it up and how that can be applied to what we're doing in the field of fitness and nutrition and trying to change behaviors.
Well, deliberate practice is an idea that it's been around for quite a while. And I think there's a lot of literature around the talent versus work ethic kind of genre of, what makes people great and what gets them to their optimal level of performance.
Right.
And, you know, there's this sort of known saying that people might be familiar with, which is 10 years or 10,000 hours of practice will get you to expertise. And, you know, there's some research out there today that's like, well, you don't necessarily need that. But I think the point of it is, that if you want to get good at something, you are what you practice being. And so repetition is going to get you there more than magical thinking. And I think in a lot of things that are out there in fitness and nutrition right now, that is kind of the basic message, that your habits, the things that you're consistently doing, are what you're going to get better at. And there is no magic bullet that's going to get you from A to B faster or with less diligence. So I think it applies to many areas in fitness and nutrition.
Well, and it's like, it's the answer that none of us really wants to hear, which
Bingo.
Is you kind of, there isn't, this isn't the program. Like, it isn't like this magic diet program or nutrition program or training program that's going to get you, you know, strong. Like, you look at some of the strongest people out there. Sure, there's going to be some genetic advantages in some individuals, but a lot of people are like, yeah, I've been deadlifting for 15 years. That's why I can deadlift 600 pounds. It's not because, exactly. you know, I deadlifted for the last year and I went from 250 to 600. It's due to that, you know, deliberate practice, having some sort of a game plan going into it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And really, if you looked at that kind of person's lifestyle, they really have built their life around like behaviors and habits that are consistent with that achievement. So it's not just that they're going in the gym 3 times a week for an hour and a half training session.
Right.
There's probably so many behaviors that if you looked at how they took care of their sleep and who they spent their free time with and what they read in their free time and how they ate, all those things probably are supportive of that achievement. And so you really can't just, you know, get a flatter tummy in 5 weeks or whatever. I mean, you really have to invest your time and your energy and have a lifestyle that's supportive of the goals that you want to achieve. And you're right. Nobody really wants to hear that. We want to know how we can have it all and like fit our goals in the little cracks of our life. And people love to multitask. You also mentioned multitasking earlier. Mm. And really we're much worse at multitasking than we think we are. We're much more efficient and effective when we're doing one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not how we're socialized now. I think we're socialized to be doing 3 things at once and to be perfect and to be really high achieving in many different areas. Which takes away from how well we can perform something and how well we can enjoy it and really get into it. So deliberate practice is a great theme to go back to because it is kind of congruent with something else that's very popular in psychology right now, which is mindfulness. And mindfulness isn't like this really far out there kind of meta idea. It just means being where you are. So that when you're lifting a weight, you're thinking about that, you're feeling that, you know, your brain is occupied with that and not like what's in the fridge and what you're going to do when you get home and what's in your email and the 50 other things that are generally like vying or jockeying for our attention.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I guess I want to take a step back on. Like one is, I mean, we'll come back to the mindfulness stuff in a second, but you hit on a ton of awesome stuff right there. You know, one, like you brought up the multitasking thing, and that's like something where I'm a huge piece of garbage when it comes to that stuff because you're talking to someone that is running too many podcasts, has too many like jobs, too many sources of income to try to like make it all work. Mm-hmm. Coming in and doing this podcast, if you're being at the gym trying to film videos on my green screen, going to a restaurant answering emails, writing new script stuff for like a documentary I'm doing in Toronto next week, like I'm the king of not doing it right, but it just like kind of somehow works in the end. But it's about more efficiency, right? Like being on like one task is way more efficient than just trying to like jump from this browser tab, answering email, going to this other browser tab, trying to post like, you know, something on Facebook, going to this other tab and trying to read an article that just came out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one part of it has to do with the quality of the output or the, you know, so do you really need to have the, when you're trying to do these like 50 little tasks, does it have to be of highest quality? No, they're probably like check boxes that you're checking. Like I did this, I did this, I did this. So quality is one part of it. How good do you want the quality of it to be? And the other part of it is how much do you want to enjoy it? So if you're not present for it, if your mind is elsewhere while you're doing something, how can you possibly enjoy it? How can you possibly get something out of it? So, you know, when you think about things to do mindfully in the gym, like if somebody's working on their deadlift or their bench press or their squat, where are they at in their mind when they're doing those things? Because if they do enjoy them, then they're going to do it more and they're going to want to do it more. And their goal is going to naturally, or their weight is going to naturally increase over time. Their performance is going to improve because they actually are into what they're doing and they're liking it. Mm-hmm. And if you're attending to what your form is like, where your breath is at, how tense you are, all of those little cues, you know, if you're thinking about that while you're executing the skill, you're probably going to execute it safely, properly. You're probably going to be able to graduate your weight and push harder. So the quality and the enjoyment are two things that you really get out of single tasking or being mindful. Mm-hmm. And there are some things maybe we don't care about the quality. We don't care about the enjoyment because we've just got to get stuff done. But then there are certain things, and I would say training is one of them, where you do want to be present and you do want the quality and the enjoyment to be high.
Well, that's like where the training environment totally comes into play because, you know, this has been a big thing for me. Like, I train at an incredible facility. Like, it is, you know, Men's Health number one gym in America. It's got everything, all the toys that I would ever want, the perfect situation. But, you know, I found training at my home when I could have a very, like, singular focus of like, all right, well, and look, my training time has drastically come down too because there's two things. Like, it was like the same thing when I was at Chrissy Sports Performance. Like, you get in those staff lifts and they're an absolute blast. You're getting stronger. You have a great camaraderie where people are making you work harder.
Yeah.
That's a great training environment. When it's just kind of like hanging out, chatting, like you go to the health club and I'm got my headphones on, but hey, you know, God, I'm so happy I don't, God bless anyone that trains at a commercial gym, because especially women, like when I used to work there, seeing like the creep show dudes trying to hit on like women, like, hey, let me show you how to deadlift. Like, oh my God, like having to deal with all that crap going on and then trying to also get stronger, also trying to lift. Like, I understand why you have those big ass Beats headphones on now, because you don't want to like get any of those distractions, but there's so many things that could be coming at you where me training at home, I can put on loud music, I can close my laptop, I can go train for 60 minutes, and I will get stronger.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, it's very striking how much the environment can affect your whole experience. And if you're just tuned in and you're in the zone, or what they call like in a flow state, it's just so much more enjoyable. You get so much out of it. Of course, we all need days where we like shoot the breeze by the water fountain or whatever, but you have such an excellent point. And there's some people who don't have access to, like you're saying, either like the most fabulous gym in America, or just having a home gym and having the opportunity to like exercise in a vacuum or be able to train without any distraction. So I think that's one area where mental skills can come into play, where you can, you know, you prepare yourself physically to work out. You wash your makeup off, you put your ponytail in, you change your clothes, you put on your special shoes, you get your headphones on, you have your playlist, et cetera, et cetera. You're doing all those things to prepare physically, but you know, what are you doing mentally to prepare? What are you clearing out of your mind? What is your body language or your posture like? I'm sure that if you were to talk to any of the like 5 to 15 guys who have been at the same gym I've been at for the last decade, they're probably like, we don't think she can speak, and she never makes eye contact, and she probably doesn't even speak English, because I'm not there to chat. Like, I'm doing it for me, and I'm there for myself. I give like the occasional meathead nod, but that's how I prepare I'm just in a different zone with a different agenda. So. And I think, you know, if you're going there for the social component, which does have some benefits to it, then there's like a give and take, you know, how do you have your chat time, but then also get down to business so that your workout is not like 3 hours long and you never get any training effect because you're just like rolling along from one thing to the next.
Yeah. And it's like easy to make excuses like, yeah, this is my social time as well. Like, I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone, but you gotta, like you said, multitasking is not going to be super beneficial. For me, it was a completely different story with those staff lifts at like CSP. that was like, you know, yeah, there's a little joking around in between sets, like talking about what's going on. But when you get under the bar, like it is just all, you know, Rage Against the Machine and, mm-hmm. you know, push. Like that's different than you going over and talking to someone than going back to your, you know, dumbbells, doing your set by yourself. Like that's a completely different setup. So if you can get like a really good lifting crew together where, you know, it's just going to be, you know, people that you know, but not a lot of BS, like that can also be super beneficial too.
It's true. It can be very supportive. And like you said, it can just add energy to the environment where like maybe you're pushing yourself a little bit harder, or your buddy can see if something's going on when you're lifting, that maybe you're losing your form somewhere in the execution, or maybe you're limiting yourself when they think you could push harder. So there's definitely benefits to it, but your gym buddy has to have an agenda like you do.
Right. What was the last thing? Yeah, like one of the big things that I'm working on for my 4,000 projects that I should probably cut 70% of is I'm putting together a video series for people to put together their own, you know, home gyms on a budget, something that I've hit on a couple times in the past. But I think it is, like, I live in an apartment, like, and I've lived in like apartments in Lowell, and you know, you can get some good equipment that doesn't take up a lot of space and still get in some badass training. Mm-hmm. And that is like where I think people should, you know, think about investing a little bit of money, just because you can like hit on these, like, you can hit on all these like small little things that you may not dedicate time at the gym for. They might not have kettlebells, or they, you know, you might just be like, I can't get to the gym today. No, well, you can go lift for 30 minutes first thing in the morning and get in a bunch of chin-ups, get in a bunch of swings, get in a bunch of get-ups. Okay, that's not what was written. That's not the program for the day, but you still lifted and you don't feel like you got a, you know, one in the loss column. It's still in the win column. You're good. You can keep moving forward.
Absolutely. And I think it touches on a couple things. One is, you maintain your habit, so you get to check that checkbox of you were physically active that day. And that does a couple things. One, it's just good for your self-esteem and your self-efficacy that I'm a person who takes care of my body every day, whether I can get to the gym or not. The other thing it does is you get the neurological benefits of having exercise. So even though maybe you didn't have like the training day of your life, right, you still got the psychological benefits, which include like boosting your serotonin, improvement in norepinephrine, improvement in your cognitive functioning. Your memory works better for like 4 hours after you exercise. I mean, there's all of these benefits that you get psychologically. So when you get that boost, it's almost like kind of getting high in a way that you experience a reward, and then that's reinforcing and you're going to want to do it again. Mm-hmm. So every time you make yourself feel good, you're like, ooh, when I did that, I felt good. It increases the chances that you're going to exercise again pretty soon. So I think there's all kinds of benefits to training at home, and it helps people remember, like, you don't have to take a 2 hour chunk of your day and like go to the gym and do all, you know, you can take 30 minutes and you can get after it and you can have definitely physical and psychological benefits of that little episode, or you can do 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there if that's all you've got, because you need to split it up, and you can still have training effect and a lot of good things come as a result of that.
Hell yeah. Like I'm totally someone that I have trouble sleeping sometimes. So some days I will just not be fresh and I'm like, I don't really feel like training. So I will just set up, I'll do what I need to do around the house. I'll be doing some work and I'll set up, you know, a chin-up bar, and I'll just do the things that I love doing. Like I will, I'll do goblet squats, I'll do kettlebell swings, I will do chin-ups, I will do rows, and I'll do push-ups. And those are the things that I like. But again, it's still something that I can put in the win column. So, you know, psychologically, I don't feel like, oh man, I missed my training today, so, well, I guess I can skip my nutrition as well, because it's already one of the loss column. What's going to be worse if I, you know, just, you know, have some pizza too? It's not going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And that is a brilliant solution. That's actually very much in line with, there's this whole field of psychology called positive psychology, which has to do not with curing mental illness, but like improving and thriving and what makes people happy. And one of the major themes is, using a strength base. So whenever you're in doubt, as opposed to like, what are your deficits and like how to fix those, it's what are your strengths and how can you utilize those? So you're saying like, if I really don't feel like it, I just go for the stuff I love, which is exactly the like an awesome, awesome idea, because you're doing something you enjoy and you're still exercising and you're getting a training effect and your brain's probably feeling better after you do that. And then you feel like, okay, I'm being consistent and congruent, and you want to stay on track with your other goals for the rest of the day. So very nice.
Yeah, it only took me, you know, it's so many years to figure that stuff. But that's why I bought like all this stuff. I've had like a really decent home gym since, hell, since like 2010 for those quote unquote off days where, you know, I still want to do something. But, okay. So that would be, yeah, we definitely went on a little bit of a, you know, road trip with that one. so let's talk about, God, where I wanted to go kind of all over the place with this stuff. So the shitting stuff was something that I definitely wanted to bring up because that was so badass. Like that you, this was part of, you know, the I'm Not Afraid to Lift workshop that you do with Artemis. And that was like one of the big talking points. Can you discuss a little bit what you mean by, you know, trying not to be, you know, shitting?
So that's a concept. That's not my line. That's been around, I think, since the late 70s. There was a rational emotive therapy that was almost sort of a precursor to cognitive behavioral therapy, which some folks out there may have heard of. But it's a style of psychotherapy and of thinking about behavior that has to do with your thinking. So the idea is you don't feel good or you're having an issue, not because something is wrong in the environment, but something is wrong with the way that you are thinking about it. And when you talk to people who are high achievers or people who are in the fitness industry or, you know, people who are avid nutrition people, exercise people, you typically will hear people who have really high strivings. They have goals, they have things they want. And a lot of those are good. Where people get themselves into trouble sometimes is when they start to say to themselves, I should have this percent body fat, or I should be deadlifting this much, or I should be able to do what that other person on Instagram can do. And once you start setting up these shoulds, which have been called shoulding on yourself, all you're doing is making yourself feel criticized, getting anxious or uncomfortable at something. And the reaction to that kind of thing is, well, who the hell said that? Who's the authority that says you should weigh that or you should deadlift that? Like, and Albert Ellis, who is kind of the father of RET, would say to clients, like on stage in front of an audience, like, that's bullshit. Who ever said that? Like, that is a made up thing you created in your mind that you should be able to deadlift two times or three times body weight. Mm-hmm. And the more that you hold on to that should, the more anxious or the more, you know, unhappy you're going to be. So let's reframe that. Like, let's figure out a different way for you to think about that, because the problem isn't that you can't deadlift two times body weight. The problem is that you're having this, I should, repetitive thought that is just jacking you up and making you all twisted and unhappy.
That's a bunch of bullshit. That's my joke for the show. that's why I don't make many jokes on the podcast. It's been 10 years. That's probably the third one I've tried to make, and all of them falling flat. So
the occasional pun is okay.
So like this comes into play with goal setting too, because that is something that comes up a lot in, you know, not only it comes up a lot in the fitness field, because there is a lot of comparisons, whether you, like you said, Instagram, like that's something that comes up where you see these, you know, fitness models, or you just see, you know, people in the fitness industry be like, oh, well, you know, why am I not there? Like, I should be, like you said, like I should be, you know, I should look like that to be a good strength coach or to be a good trainer, or like, that's what my goal should be, because that's what those people who I like or I respect, that's where they are. So is there like a different approach that you like to goal setting for people to make sure it's not just, you know, a hot bag of should?
I would always investigate the should, like, where is that coming from? You know, if your physician said you should lose 10 pounds, then right. that's one, that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. If it's coming from like the media, if it's something that you made up, and it's not helping you get to your goal, if it's not useful, then let's get rid of it. If you have like a, I should be able to do 10 pull-ups, and every couple of weeks you're like adding another pull-up on to how many pull-ups you can do, awesome. Like if it's working for you and it's not broke, we don't need to fix it. But mm-hmm. if it's getting in the way and it's you're not enjoying what you're doing, then I would want to do what is, you can call reframe, or non-technically just to say, like, let's rethink that. How can we think about what you want differently, or structure your goal differently, so that number one, you can have success. Number two, you can enjoy it and you can be making progress towards what you want. So if somebody's saying like, oh, I should have 8% body fat or 10% body fat. Like, what is that based on? What mm-hmm. is it that you actually want? And so somebody might say, well, I want to look hot in a bikini, or I want to impress my ex when I go to my high school reunion, or I want to, they might say a whole bunch of different other things that actually have nothing to do with 10% or 8% or whatever percent body fat. It may just have to do with them like feeling good or looking good. And you can ask them like, what does that mean to you? How else would you know besides a caliper test that you mm-hmm. look hot? And just kind of open that up and explore it, because sometimes people get attached to one little piece of data or one little outcome when actually it's not all about that. It's about all kinds of other things. Mm-hmm. And getting attached to that one little detail can just, sometimes it can help you out, but sometimes it can screw you up. And if it's screwing you up, let's get rid of it and don't waste any more of your time fretting over something that really might not matter at all.
Yeah, like that is that's one of the coolest things that I've been able to experience like firsthand with the work that I've done mm-hmm. With Chris Scott Dixon at PN, and also talking with, like, this is what's so cool, is like, you know, people like you are helping, you know, bring this stuff to the forefront of the fitness industry. Because like, I look back and this is kind of how we do things in strength and conditioning in the world of fitness. Like every 3 or 4 years, we kind of like, I can't believe we were doing that. I can't believe that's how we were doing mm-hmm. goal setting. Or I can't believe that's how we were trying to, mm-hmm. you know, elicit behavior change. It makes no sense when we look back on it today. But now that we have that, you know, more, I guess it is a more psychological angle that we can take as coaches and as people that we're trying to help each other, even if we're trying to help ourselves. And I think, I don't know, like, do you think this is something that someone can do for themselves, or is it better for someone else to ask them those questions? Does that make sense?
Ooh, because, love this question.
Because it's like, I feel even like, I feel like I didn't have these answers until I had Chris Scott Dixon, like, on my ass, like, going deeper and deeper and deeper mm-hmm. and trying to, like, figure this stuff out.
Okay, so this might hurt everybody's noodle a little bit, but one way to think about this is, you know, the piece of equipment that you have to figure stuff out is your brain, is your cognition, your thinking. Mm-hmm. So if your thinking is screwed up, how can you use your thinking to fix your thinking? Mm-hmm. You can't use the instrument that is a little tweaked to fix the tweaked instrument.
Right.
Right. So we can all introspect. I mean, that's one of the good things about us. So some people who are very insightful and quite organized might be able to sit down and say, okay, what is my goal? Who the hell told me that that is what I should be doing? Is that reasonable? Mm-hmm. Not reasonable? I mean, I guess there are people out there who can do it. I'm wicked biased because I kind of sit in a room all day long and have very private conversations with people where they share the inner workings of their cognitions and we unpack it. And often people will be like, oh shit, I was thinking that, like, that exactly. doesn't make any sense. Or, you know, so when it's all swirling around up there and all you have is your own set of thoughts to evaluate your thoughts, you're not really very objective. And if you get into a zone of believing in something and acting as if, it's really hard to kind of get omniscient and take a look at it from the outside and say, nah, maybe not. So even, not even that somebody has to tell you you're being irrational, or that's, but when you are in the presence of another person and you say it out loud and you just unpack it and look at it together, it can often make it very clear where you don't even need the other person's judgment. You can say, well, that's kind of screwed up, or that's not helping me out. Now that I say it out loud, or now that I'm talking about it and unpacking it with you, I should definitely be changing it. So I think that talk therapy, or I think that even not that you need to see a therapist, talking with your friend, talking with your workout buddy, talking with your trainer, talking with another trainer. I think all of that is extremely important because you need to bounce off of someone else. All of these judgments you're making, all of these conclusions you're coming to, particularly if you're not making progress towards your goal or if you're not enjoying what you're doing. I think that is an indication, like, just bounce it off someone else and see what happens.
We're going to pause for just a second so I can talk to you guys about our sponsor, Organifi, at organifi.com, where you can save 20% off with the code FITCAST. We talked about their Organifi green juice last week. Great stuff. I hope you picked some up and that you tried it out, because like I mentioned before, especially for people that are traveling, or, you know, we just live hectic lives, you want to make sure that you're getting in some good nutrition throughout the day. Their green juice is going to cover some bases that you might otherwise miss out on because you are traveling or not able to get in the proper nutrition throughout the day. It's a great staple to have in there. But I also want to talk to you about their daily turmeric boost. And we know about the benefits of turmeric, like you're going to get reduced inflammation and joint pain. Also, it's going to help with memory, which is really important. If you're living a busy life and you're stressed out, turmeric can actually be beneficial for you for that as well. So there are a couple benefits that, I mean, I'm talking to you guys, like, I like those things. I would like to have reduced joint pain, like making sure that you're still able to go into the gym and train hard, but not feel like you are hurting the next day. Like, that's important, especially as we get older. Same thing with memory. You got a lot on your plate. You got to keep your memory as sharp as possible. And with Organifi, the best thing about their turmeric product is that it's third-party tested for purity and freshness. Also, it is 4 times more effective, because you got to keep in mind, Wild West of supplement industry. You know, they can basically say, hey, this is a turmeric product, and they can basically say it's something, something milligrams, but, you know, what's the actual effective dosage? Like, what else are they putting in there as well? So that's really important. Organifi cuts through all that stuff. They make sure they just make awesome products that cut to the point and that are effective. You get the benefits of turmeric with their daily turmeric boost. It is certified organic. And like I said, just like the Organifi green juice, it is USDA organic. It's gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, and the best part, no fillers. They're not putting a bunch of extra stuff in there. You're just getting turmeric, which is what we want from this stuff. So go and check them out at organifi.com. Check out the green juice. Check out their daily turmeric. And also, if you want probiotics, they get a great probiotic on there as well. When you're at checkout, use the code FITCAST. That's FITCAST. You're going to save 20% off. And even at the end of the day, you go and you place that order, you check them out. If you're unsatisfied whatsoever, there's a 100% money-back guarantee. So there is literally no risk if you go and try it out. And I know, especially, again, if you're looking for a good greens product, boom, you got it. It's green juice. It's there. And like I mentioned before, I only talk about products that I believe in and that I've tried myself. I've been using this stuff. I got it months ago. I'm happy to finally have Organifi on the show so I can talk about this stuff with you guys. So go and check them out. Save 20%, 100% money-back guarantee, and again, I believe if you go try them, you're going to like them. So thank you so much for listening. Let's get back to the show. Is there like, I don't know if there is like a right answer to this, but is there someone that is it, like, should you talk to a close friend? Should you talk to a fellow, you know, or so, like a fitness professional? Should you talk to someone that is unbiased, or like someone that's going to give, like, be a little bit more maybe honest with you than a friend that, you know, you might go up to talk to about this, and they're just going to try to, you know, tell you what you want to hear?
It's a hard, I mean, we're all biased in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. And we all kind of know, I mean, we all know which friend we should like talk to when we want to complain about our partner, and like which friend we should talk to when we're not sure if we want to buy something or not, like which friend's going to say yes and which friend's going to say no. Mm-hmm. I think if you, when a lot of people come to counseling, even if they come for one or two sessions of therapy, what they will often say is, I'm sick of everybody telling me what to do. I just want to talk about it. And I don't need judgment. I don't need opinions. I don't need, and that's one of the cliches or the jokes about therapy, right? Is that the person who's the therapist just reflects back what the other person is saying. But really, if you have a friend who can sit with you and like unpack everything you're saying and like kind of let you do the work, that is usually most useful. And I hope that people are like sitting at home listening to this, nodding their head. Like, yeah, when I really want to like hash something out, I know who to call or who to talk to, who's going to let me do that and not jump in every 30 seconds with telling me what I should or should not be doing. So I don't know if that person is a trainer or not. I don't know if that person is even somebody who's like familiar with fitness or not. But I think there are some people in our lives who are just good at listening and tolerating not jumping in and answering the question for us, because ultimately you are the only person who knows what's best for you. We just need social interaction in order to kind of check ourselves.
Let's talk a little bit about mental rehearsal, because that is, you know, maybe where people do kind of fall short when they find like they are still, you know, at the same weights that they have been in the gym for a while. They're not necessarily getting stronger, more or less going through the motions and things like that.
Okay.
So what is like a good game plan for just having like really good mental rehearsal before going into a lift? Or like, is that kind of the same as just psyching yourself up, or what's the situation?
I would say it's a kind of psyching yourself up. So it is a type of mental skill. Another way to think about mental rehearsal is like visualization or daydreaming, where you are actually going through the motions in your mind. And some people are actually better daydreamers than others. Some people really can like get up in their head and like go away somewhere and create pretty strong images and really be there, while other people, not so much. So, there has been some research to show that people who are better visualizers than others really benefit more from mental rehearsal. But mental rehearsal is basically like running through it in your head, and you can create as vivid an image or of an experience as you want. You can think about like, if you're getting ready to do a lift, like what would the chalk feel like in your hands? What would the belt feel like around your waist? What would the bar feel like on your back? You know, those kinds of things. And then you're walking through what you're doing. And I've had different clients like different things. So for example, one exercise I'll do with clients I work with who are athletes is something called scripting, where I'll have them kind of tell me their internal monologue during the execution of a lift. Like let's say they're going to do a squat. And some people like to go through the technical aspects of it, like how they grip the bar, how they get tension, how they step back 1 foot, 1 foot, 1 foot, you know, those kinds of things. Other people like to talk about what the experience is like, kind of more emotionally. So if they're at a meet, like I can hear people cheering, I can hear the announcer talking, I can see the light flash for me to go. I hear myself saying, I know how to do this. I feel strong. I feel tense, you know, more of kind of a qualitative experience than like the mechanistic A to B to C to D. But either way you like it, and you can experiment and see, but you're sort of creating that storyline and you can see it in your mind's eye. And when people can do that, if they can spend a little time doing that, it's not as good as in vivo practice, of course, but it does have benefits. It can help to improve performance.
Oh my God. There's kind of like two more subjects that I want to hit on before I let you go. But, one is definitely like, this is like really cool where, you're getting to look at the fitness industry and getting to meet a lot of different, professionals in the industry and getting a really, not like kind of like looking from the outside in, but in a sense doing so because of your background. So for us, you know, as fitness professionals, if we could like improve in one area more than any, where would it be in terms of like making sure that we're doing our best to, you know, help the populations or help the people that we're trying to help?
Ooh, that's a big question. I don't know. I mean, my first association to that was thinking about like people who are trainers that I see at the commercial gyms where mm-hmm. I train or, which I think might even be a different population than the trainers who are maybe listening to your podcast or who are like you and my husband and other people, very well read, very thoughtful. I think there's some trainers out there that get their cert, and I see stuff go on in the gym where I'm like, what the hell are they doing? And I'm not a certified trainer, but, so I guess that's my first association to it, which is obvious. But I think if you are a trainer, it's you're not just telling people what exercises to do. There's a holistic experience that you're offering, and probably the biggest component of that is the relationship. What is the rapport you have with the client? How do you communicate with the client? Mm-hmm. Are they on board with you, or are you just sitting them down and giving them a sheet of paper that's like, here's your recipe, here's your workout, let's go do it, and I'll count the reps and like stare off into oblivion while you're doing it. I think, and maybe this isn't relevant to your audience because the people who are listening are the choir, and I don't want to preach to the choir, but you're not just, it's not formulaic. Like a robot mm-hmm. cannot do your job. The having human contact and having an interaction with a human being who's flexible and can adjust the goals and who can modify the exercises and who can notice when a client's having a good day or a bad day or a strong day or a weak day, or when they're having like a psychological, like kind of like issue that day that's getting in the way. That's what makes you good at your job. That's what keeps the clients, I think, attached and wanting to stay engaged and work harder. So never underestimate the human, how important the human component is of the work. And totally. Even if you're educated and you know all the technicality of it, there's this whole other, like, it's like covert experience that's happening. So I might be going on too long about this, but in therapy, there's a existential point of view that's like, when you're talking to someone, there's the content, there's like the actual words and the syntax, but then there's the process, like, what is happening between two people? What's the energy like? What's the vibe? How well are they hearing each other? What's their rapport? And I think that is absolutely true between trainer and client. There's a content of what's being talked about and what's being executed in the session, but then there's a process of how those two people are working together and, you know, how much they're on board to pursue the goals together. That just the importance of that cannot be understated, I think.
That is like huge. And it is like one of those things where, you know, maybe a bunch of the audience is already doing that and they're like, they got that covered, but it's something that won't hurt to be heard again. So we can keep it at the front of mind too, because this is a weird industry. Like we're again in the industry to help other people, or maybe it is like, you're just listening to this because you want to help yourselves. But you know, for people that are trainers, I think, you know, the people that fail most often, the people that aren't able to help other people, are the ones that kind of forget that it's not about you. It's like, it's about them. It's about the people that you're trying to help. And, you know, that's something that we got to keep in mind. So I definitely want to hit on, because this is breaking news on the internet, you know, talking about pregnancy and training while pregnant and nutrition and stuff like that. Does Tony have like a sick, like, you know, 9-month program, like training protocol, like written up
for me?
Yeah. Or like, no, 10 set. Yeah. It's probably the same program for you and for him. It's like 10 sets of one trap bar deadlift, just like heavy singles all the time.
You know, I think that For me, I can see myself becoming pregnant and going on this journey where I kind of feel like a science fair project. It has shifted my goals, and him being, you know, a good trainer, he's adjusting to that. So one thing all my life that I've been training, and I probably have been lifting weights since I was, well, on my own, probably since 15, I was introduced to it pretty early by my father, but I have always been a bad warmer upper. I have always liked to lift heavy things. And here and there over the years, I've like pissed off certain joints or muscles, tweaked certain things, and not been the best at like backing off and recovering. And once I knew I was pregnant and I was training, for whatever reason, I just started to think to myself, you know, I do not want to hurt myself. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sidelined and not be able to train like, you know, during my pregnancy, after my pregnancy. I want to be as healthy and as agile, like, as I can possibly be. So I've been taking my warm-ups much more seriously. Tony's been programming a lot more things that maybe aren't like sexy, like dead bugs and, you know, X-Men walks and just other kinds of, bird dogs, other kinds of things that, right now I'm really into, and I'm enjoying them because it feels to me like I'm taking the best care of my body I can possibly take. In addition to that, I want to keep as much strength as I can, but I just, I don't want to piss anything off right now in my body. So that's kind of how training has shifted. Nutrition is another whole mind trip because, for anybody out there who's been pregnant, you know, your hormones like go completely apeshit and kind of take over. So, and there's like parts that are harder and parts that are easier. I'm in like a pretty easy, I'm in my second trimester, which is kind of smooth sailing, but there was definitely 3 days in a row where I was in my mind, I was like, I could really go for a fish stick. Like when's the last time you ate a fish stick? I'm pretty sure I was in like elementary
fourth grade.
School.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So so some very strange like food cravings or just your appetite is just very different. I was grossed out by green things, anything green for like 3 weeks. And so I think there's a balance of, you want to take good care of your body, but you don't want to take yourself too seriously. So I looked at the box of fish sticks. I couldn't pull the trigger. I was like, I have to draw the line at these because I don't feel comfortable eating that. But like, I definitely have had more pizza in the last 6 months than I've had in the last 6 years, probably.
Love it.
And I just, so I think it shifted me from being, very, very like, I guess I would say from more serious to giving myself a little bit more slack. Like if I've been really like dreaming about a steak for like 4 days, I probably just need to eat a steak. So I think it's helped me to kind of practice more of that being balanced, trying not to take it all too seriously, trying to be consistent with habits, but, you know, probably my body is sending me a message. It may not be to eat fish sticks. I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do, but you know, to be paying attention to the signs and see what might be the best way to treat myself.
But I love that. That's like what you just said is awesome advice for everyone, right? Because it's about just making sure that you're listening to yourself and you're making sure that you're not overstressing. Like again, like that's where people always trip up on the nutrition stuff is when they try to be absolutely perfect. Right. So, you know, allowing for some sort of, you know, real like compromise that makes sense and is not just excuses. It's like actual compromise because you're kicking ass. And yeah, of course, like I'm going to have a couple slices of pizza because I trained hard. Everything else has been rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man, I feel like we're going to do like another one of these soon. But okay, so this is kind of where I think will be a great time to wrap up for today. But what I'll do is definitely go and make sure you guys are heading over. And I'm going to send you guys to TonyJohnLacour.com because Lisa has some awesome pieces on there that you should absolutely check out. Just kicking ass. And I can't wait to see what you have coming up in terms of the workshops and you and Artemis continue to kick butt on those workshops. So I'm very excited. And you and Tony are also going to be presenting together as well, which is super fun. That is so cool.
Yeah, the next thing, so Artemis and I do have, and I'm Not Afraid to Lift workshop coming up that's going to be here in Boston on Saturday, November 6th, I believe. So it's
awesome.
It's the weekend before Veterans Day. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. We haven't worked together for a couple months, so that'll be good to get back at that.
Love it. I love it. Where are you guys going? Are you going to be at Artemis's place on the 7th?
Yes, we'll be at Iron Body Studios, which is in Boston.
All right. I might have to go to that. If I can get to that, I'm going to be there.
Awesome.
God, I got to look at my November travel schedule. All right. Well, that's going to be an awesome event. I don't care if you're in the Boston area or not. Like, that's going to be worth flying into just because, you know, you're going to get to see so many great people and learn so much at one event that it is going to be worth the price of travel. It's going to be super, super cool. All right. Outside of that, anything else people should keep an eye out for?
Well, I do. I am trying to work on a website. I don't have it up yet, but I think that'll be in the works for hopefully this fall. That'll be out. So, and I am going to write another article. Probably that's going to be up on Tony's blog in the next, I would say, 3 weeks. I'll have something else up.
Perfect. Awesome.
And this time I've been reading a lot about perfectionism and people. I've had some people email me with questions about that. So that's going to be the focus of the next article.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me know when that comes out and I'll blast that out as well on all my, my social media platforms. God, so dumb. I'll get all that stuff out there on my Instagram and my Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. But, you guys got to make sure that you keep an eye out for that. And, what I will do is, I'll just make sure I post the registration for the event on the 7th too, so you guys can check that out, and I'll be blasting that out on Twitter and Facebook and, and all that. And you can follow Artemis, as well. So through some form, you will find out that information if you want to get there. We hope you can make it. All right. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh,
this has
thanks
been,
for having me back.
Yeah, like I said, I told you I was going to get you back on soon because we kind of had a wrap up really quickly. But, you know, for everyone else out there, thank you so much for tuning in this week. And extra special thank you to people that are supporting the show at patreon.com/theFitCast. If you haven't gone over to that site and checked it out, please do so. We've had some people that, you know, are no longer able to support the show. So if you do really value this stuff, I would appreciate it so, so much if you go over there and you check it out. And if you can make a contribution to help me produce these shows and keep this thing going for another 400 episodes, I would greatly appreciate it. I really do love it. Every time I get one of those emails, it puts a smile on my face. You know, I don't know, Lisa, is it okay if I read an email real quick?
Of course.
Okay, so here's the deal, because I don't know necessarily if people are cool with me saying their names on like the show and stuff like that, because it's not like a checkbox or anything like that. But Pretz just became a patron, so I'm only going to say first name. So thank you so much. Like literally 2 hours before we recorded this, at $1 per episode, that is awesome. Thank you so much. And again, like that's what it's all about. It's like, you know, $1 per episode. It's like $4 per month adds up. And Leon H. Leon just jumped on, $2 per episode. Awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. And you guys don't know how much I appreciate you helping me do this like passion project that I've been doing for 10 years, and you're allowing me to keep doing it. Well, like I said, I'm working on a billion other things at the same time. So thank you for, I can't say thank you enough. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, check all that stuff. Go to the FitCast, fitcast.network, where you can get not only this show, but a bunch of other shows and a bunch of video content. That home gym video content is going to be up on there. And you can also find the FitCast Network on YouTube. Just search FitCast Network and that page will pop up on there. You can subscribe, and there's fitness stuff, there's tech stuff, there's video game stuff. Basically all the things that I'm interested in, you will find video content on that. So again, Lisa, thank you so much. And wow, this is super incredible time for you right now. I'm so excited for you, and I can't wait to catch up some more, and hopefully I will see you on the 7th.
Absolutely. Great.